welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm good, Mike. How are you doing?
Good. I'm looking forward to your review of this poem. I'll tell listeners why in a moment. But this is a poem about monoclonal antibodies and Alzheimer's disease. Lots of attention to some of these new drugs. Listeners will know that Alzheimer's disease is a neurodegenerative disorder. We have no idea what causes it. There are lots of people who claim they do, but lots of data suggests that we still don't know what's really going on here. It does affect mostly older adults. It's the most common cause of dementia, certainly not the only cause, though. The most essential and often earliest clinical manifestation of Alzheimer's disease is memory impairment, but there can be exceptions. Other behaviors may come first. While treatments are available that can ameliorate some of the symptoms of the illness, there is no cure currently available, and the disease inevitably progresses in all patients. It is in this context that patients, but actually probably more often families, become desperate for treatment. There are currently, I repeat, no good treatments for Alzheimer's disease, but in this context that monoclonal antibody amyloid targeting drugs have been marketed to families. It is the theory that these monoclonal antibodies intend to prevent beta amyloid from clumping into plaques. Some experts suggest that they can remove these beta amyloid plaques with these drugs. This poem that you found was published in the Annals of Family Medicine. It's a great review. The first author is a bit of a weird guy. No, I'm only kidding. It is a systemic review and meta-analysis. I'm kidding because the first author is you, Mark, Mark Abel, and members of your team. It was published in the Annals of Family Medicine this year. It starts on page 50, and it attempts to answer the question, does treatment with these monoclonal antibody therapies that target amyloid, do they actually have meaningful improvement in patient outcomes?
Yeah, this was something I did with Henry Barry, who's one of the other poets. He writes about a fifth of the poems that we publish, has been doing so for well over 20 years, and a couple of our graduate students. And this was doing this study was triggered by the controversy around the approval of the first of these drugs, aducanumab or Aduhelm. And it was the advisory panel to the FDA rejected it like 10 to 1, said, no, don't approve this. And the FDA said, oh, thank you for your input. We're going to improve it anyway. And there's a lot of concerns about influence, politics, you know, money, who knows what. So this was a very controversial approval. And when we started looking at the studies, we were struck by how small the apparent benefits were. So we decided to do this analysis. We found 19 studies with about 23,000 participants. Each study compared one of these amyloid targeting monoclonal antibodies with placebo, and all studied patients with cognitive impairment or Alzheimer's. One of them included patients who were just at high risk for Alzheimer's, so preclinical disease, if you will. And they all reported at least one cognitive or functional or harm outcome. We excluded studies that used lower doses or varying doses of the drugs. We tried to include only those studies that gave the appropriate, finally approved phase 3 trial dose. They were all industry funded. They were all comparing the drug to placebo. And mostly they enrolled patients with either mild or mild to moderate Alzheimer's disease. So when we looked at this, we also thought, well, you know, how big of a difference matters? And there's something called the minimal clinically important difference, or MCID. And all of these different scales, there are about a dozen of these functional cognitive scales, they each have a difference that in theory, a patient or their caregiver would notice. So maybe on a 50-point scale, it requires a difference of 5 points before a patient is likely to say, I feel better, or a caregiver is likely to say, hey, you know, grandma seems to be doing a little better. And those MCIDs, basically, the difference that we found, some of them were statistically significant, but none were even close to reaching this MCID threshold. They were typically about a quarter or a third of the way to the MCID, so far less than, in theory at least, a patient or their caregiver would notice. There were no differences in mortality, although one of the drugs, bevacizumab, was associated with an increase in all-cause mortality. Overall, the other drugs weren't. The most frequently reported harms were these amyloid-related imaging abnormalities, and that includes edema, which was about 10 times more common, symptomatic edema, which was significantly more common, number needed to treat to harm was 86, and hemorrhage. So these drugs can actually cause swelling and hemorrhage. The relative risk was 1.7 for hemorrhage with a number needed to harm of 13. So basically, the big picture here is that these amyloid targeting antibodies, they're really good at cleaning up amyloid. You know, if you take an imaging before and after, there's less amyloid, okay? They do that well, but they have very small benefits that are probably not clinically meaningful, even after 1.5 to 2 years of follow-up. They get about a third of the way to the MCID. In theory, maybe if you treat it for 6 or 7 years, you might start to see some clinically noticeable benefit, but that's a lot of treatment. These are expensive drugs. They're also drugs that have their own harms, that people have to get regular MRIs. They're given by infusion. Overall, the balance of risk versus benefit, in our opinion, doesn't justify the use of these drugs. And actually, Aduhelm just last month was withdrawn from the U.S. market. So I think the clinicians are, a lot of clinicians are equally skeptical.
This is amazing that this drug was approved with numbers like these that were all available to the FDA. And the fact that it increases all-cause mortality, you know, it seems to me, again, that the FDA needs to spend much more time looking at these minimum clinically important differences. I mean, as you've taught us over and over and over again, something can be highly statistically significant, but who cares if you know, the chess game doesn't improve, they don't remember who you are any better, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So it is important. I mean, someday the story will be told about why they overrode the panel of experts.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a pretty remarkable story, I think. And actually, the drug companies themselves have published papers saying, here's what the MCIDs are for these that we should be targeting. And another kind of analysis is called a responder analysis, where you say, okay, we have an MCID of, let's say, 5 points. What percentage of patients in each group hit that 5-point target? And none of these studies has ever reported that. And probably because so few patients, you know, it's a distribution. You probably have some patients that have a very small change. So maybe some have a larger than average change, but there were so few hitting this MCID, they've never reported that. I just wanted to clarify also, overall, and for most of the drugs, there was no impact on all-cause mortality. It was just one drug, bapineuzumab, which has not been approved, that saw the increased risk. So I don't want to paint too dark a picture. The approved drugs have not been shown to increase mortality.
Yeah. And again, as we've talked about, you know, in this case, it's not really the patients, it's the family. But, you know, there needs to be some very clear, very understandable way to convey to a patient the risks and the benefits and the expected outcomes. And I just think that this is, it's so clear. And I just can't imagine a family being willing to put mom or dad or grandma or grandpa under these risks with such a minimal benefit.
Yeah. And I think it also calls into question, I mean, Alzheimer's research has really, you know, tied itself to this theory of amyloid being the cause. And whether it seems to me, based on this, that amyloid may be part of the cause, or it, you know, but it's certainly not the whole thing. These drugs are really good at getting rid of amyloid, but either it's too late, or it really is more of something that occurs along with the dementia, not necessarily causative of the dementia.
It's just a byproduct. I mean, it could be a byproduct.
Yeah, don't know, but it seems like all this research. Every other theory of the cause of Alzheimer's has gone by the wayside, and everybody's thrown everything into this amyloid basket. And now that we have drugs that can get rid of amyloid, it doesn't seem to make much difference. There was one study that was recently published in JAMA, I think it was toward the end of last year, that followed patients with preclinical Alzheimer's. They had amyloid deposition, So they were at risk for Alzheimer's, but they didn't have any significant symptoms. Followed them for 5 years, absolutely no difference in outcomes. And so completely negative trial. So, you know, people will say, well, you got to start earlier. Well, they started earlier and still didn't show any benefit. It's too bad. I mean, you know, we've had family members affected by Alzheimer's. Sure. And it is a terrible, terrible thing. And I just, I hope that we can maybe find the true cause or at least the additional causes and target those as well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, nobody wants drugs that don't work. We're all eager for something and to understand the causes of the disease. It just, I don't think we're there yet for the reasons you outlined. Thanks, Mark. We'll talk again next week.
Looking forward to it.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.